So,
as you mentioned, when she got to her sixth line of therapy, she's BRCA2 positive, and I don't know where this was in terms of the approval of olaparib, but she got olaparib.
Yes.
What was her condition when you started it? Was it already approved at that point?
No, she actually went on a study.
Oh, really?
Huh. She went on a study for olaparib. She received the 400 milligram PO twice a day, and she tolerated that well. Around week 5-6, Neil, she had a little bit of anemia. I think her hemoglobin went down to the low 9s with some dyspepsia and heartburn, very little diarrhea. We lowered it only by one capsule of 50 milligram. Therefore, she will take, instead of 400 BID, she took 400 and 350. She kept on having the same side effects. We ended up lowering it down to 300 BID, which she did very well on this combination.
And did the tumor respond?
She responded very well.
Interesting. Yes. Incidentally, I noticed that you put under tolerability, very tolerable, no dose modifications necessary. It sounds like that wasn't the case.
Yeah, the anemia, although the patient tried, I think patients on the studies, Neil, they downplay the side effects really because they don't want you to take them off the trial. But when you really dig in, I tell my patients on the clinical trials, it's like, you know what, you need to tell us about the side effects because if we manage them, we will be able to keep you on the study. That's why, you know, the patient never really felt very, very sick because anemia is asymptomatic. But we tried to lower it a little bit, yes.
So it looks like she got the olaparib for 9 months, then had disease progression, got some more chemotherapy, ended up in hospice, and then passed away. Anything about this case you'd like to sort of run by Dr. Beerer?
Yeah, I mean, this is a lady that when she started progressing on olaparib, I mean, it wasn't really major progression, but it qualified as a progression to take her off the study. I mean, I want to ask, in somebody like this who is not on a study, and they have the BRCA germline mutation, and they have asymptomatic progression, would you keep olaparib and add something else, whether it is chemotherapy or anti-angiogenesis drugs? Do we have safety efficacy data using PARP inhibitors with something else? Because the clone that is BRCA positive is still there. And like we do with other cancers, like we keep, you know, trastuzumab, we keep other biological, we just change the background of chemotherapy. Because I'm treating a patient now, she's not on a study, and she's in exact that situation. She is progressing asymptomatically on olaparib, tolerating well for around 11 months. And I'm really tempted to add something else. I don't know if the insurance will pay for it, but I would like to know about the safety and efficacy if he has any.
Yeah, that's a really great question. I mean, maybe a platinum agent. I don't know.
Actually, platinum, you know, alkylating agents, because then you pluck the DNA.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Right. Any comments about taking care of her? Again, I see you checked off very attached, very satisfying to take care of her. Can you talk a little bit about her as a person and what it was like to take care of her?
She amazing, amazing lady, very active in the community, in the school board, very smart and very content with life. Again, she lived really a very, very full life. Let me tell you another thing. While taking care of her, she actually brought me a relative of hers who had some pancytopenia for a few years, like mild pancytopenia. She said, if it's okay for you to see, it's like a second cousin. I said, yeah, of course. But this guy comes in mid-40s and asymptomatic, really, nothing. And his counts were low, definitely pancytopenia. And definitely the physical exam had really very large spleen. No adenopathy. I said, oh my gosh, you know, pancytopenia and large spleen. We are going to talk about hairy cell leukemia, some myeloproliferative disorder. And we immediately did a bone marrow on the person, and the hematopathologist calls me like the next day in the morning. I have a definitive diagnosis. And guess what he turned out to have? Gaucher disease.
Wow.
It has never been described in the family. But going back in the history of the family, a couple of young people in the family were diagnosed as having Parkinson's disease with some stuff in the MRI of the brains.
Wow.
And I wonder, did those people actually have a glycogen storage disease abnormalities with glycogen deposition in the brain and they were misdiagnosed as Parkinson's disease? I don't really know the answer to this question. But the patient was not loved having this diagnosis in the family. Actually, the family, instead, I thought they will tell her, thank you so much for, you know, now we can be screened. They actually ostracized her. They said, you are bringing on another disease to the family.
Wow.
Here, let me repeat this. They told her, you are bringing on another disease to the family.
Wow.
It's like, really?
Wow.
And that bothered her a lot. And since then, she had some good relation with her family members. But it's amazing. I don't know if our faculty has had something like that in his experience.